Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Put a spring in your step and fresh looks in your home, in store or online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and a very welcome to Liveline. Five one double five one is our text number. Real Tom, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
How are you? You contacted us, and it's a difficult situation. Tell us what happened. It was Dublin Airport.
I went into the airport. I was flying to Donegal, from Dublin to Donegal.
Yeah, okay.
So I was going through security, and they have those new body scanner things stand in front of.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I've been through them in a few other places. I've been to Glasgow, not a bother. And I wear a breast prosthetic where I had a mastectomy 15 years ago.
Okay.
And before this, they weren't even an option. I might get a pat down now and again at any given airport, but no bother. So automatically, these new scanners, they show up a little triangle and a warning light, like the robot in Danger, Danger.
Okay.
And in other places, I've just got a pat down or a, oh, yeah, yeah, that's me, breast prosthesis. Oh, right, no bother. But this time, the security officer stood in front of me. It was a female.
Okay.
And she said, what's this? Well, that's my bean bag, as I call it, because it is literally a bean bag, the one that I use. It's my breast prosthesis. And she went, I have to see it. And I looked at her because we're in the middle of the security hall.
Yeah, of course.
Loads of people running around, and I'd never come across this before. And actually sitting here talking to you, I can feel myself actually trembling now.
Mm.
So I just went, it's a breast prosthesis, because I thought maybe she hadn't heard me right.
Okay.
She just went, I have to see it. And she stood there, and it was like a rabbit in the headlights. And I just put my hand down my top, down underneath, into my bra. Now, there's special bra pockets, and you have to manipulate the thing in and out. It just doesn't slip in and out.
Of course.
So I'm starting hoking around and poking and trying to get it out. And she went, okay, that's grand. And away you go. So I went off to collect my rucksack. And do you know what? I think it was about half an hour later that it actually occurred to me, what the hell just happened? Because this was in the middle of everywhere. And there's me with my top halfway down to my bra trying to get a hold of this. Because if I'd pulled it out, to be honest, I don't know. I wouldn't have got it back in without having to go into the toilet and get totally undressed. You know, that only occurred to me afterwards. So, yeah. So I wrote into them. And
at any stage, did they offer you any alternative? They say, would you like to come into a room or?
No, no. And it never occurred to me because she was standing there in front of me waiting.
And you are clear, but just for our listeners, because I want to embed it. You're clear that you used the word breast for a start. This is to do with my breast prosthesis.
Yes.
Yes. And you heard the word breast.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I assume that she heard the word breast, that she heard the word prosthesis.
Mm.
Maybe she didn't understand it. I don't know, because I know that before I had a mastectomy, I probably might not have known exactly what that involved. But I'm not a security officer in the airport. And as I say, I've been in other places. I've been in Glasgow. I've been in Amsterdam. There's been a quick pat down. Coming back home from Donegal, from Carrickfinn Airport, there was a, right, gotcha. You know? So not a bother.
And I presume people, other passengers, given that it's always busy.
The whole world. The whole world was passing through Dublin Airport.
Okay.
This was the weekend before St. Patrick's Day. So, yes, it was quite crowded. A lot of people were flying out.
Okay. Now, you did get on to DAA. Dublin
I did.
Airport.
Yeah, I did. I emailed them. Yes, I sat and yes, I actually sat and cried on the airplane. The irony is, the airplane from Dublin Airport to Donegal, you're only about 20 minutes in the air. But anyway,
okay,
so I was waiting for a lift on the other side, and I opened up the laptop and I just wrote back to them and I said, "Look, you know, here, this is what happened." My last sentence to them was, "What happens next time I go through?" And that is what I'm really interested in for myself and for all the women who wear a prosthesis. I was looking it up on Google there. Now, in 2021, there were 1,615 mastectomies. That's only 1 year.
Yeah.
Now, how many of us, you know, are going to be passing through Dublin Airport? And what happens next time? That, so I'm still waiting for them to give me a detailed, this is the protocol. And I'd also like to see, and I'd like to make this point, that they need to put it up somewhere online, that this is what happens, because with these new scanners, this didn't happen before, they were installed. So this is relatively new, but it has to be dealt with in a dignified way.
And just on your point about the number of women that have had mastectomies, like we discovered it, it's 8 weeks ago now when the government announced, not a plan, but the government made a decision to cut back on a small subsidy that they gave to women post mastectomy for clothing, like you've just referred to, Railton. And the government abandoned it now. They reinstated it within 48 hours. But the number of women who were affected by it from all over the country was astonishing, I'd say. So you're right. There's a lot more women in that situation than now.
They've said. Let me see now. I'm gonna go back up to the second email. A search must be undertaken. A hand search must be conducted.
If the machine goes off, yeah.
Now, they do said, and this is what really annoyed me, was, however, it should be noted that any customer who is required to undergo a hand search can request a private search. It shouldn't be a matter of requesting, me requesting. They should actually be requesting. Okay.
They should be saying to you.
Because they mention to protect their privacy and dignity. Well, to be honest, my privacy and dignity was not protected that day. It's not up to me this is my point, to ask for it, it should be offered full stop. It is a breast prosthesis.
Yeah.
It's not a plaster on a finger. And another point that I'd like to make is that I'm 15 years out from diagnosis. So I'm 15 years wearing a prosthesis. So I'm well used to it. And yet I still find it has affected me more than any single other aspect in those 15 years.
That particular incident.
It surprised me how much it's affecting me.
Okay. Well, you said the DA, we asked for a spokesperson, but given us a statement. And basically they're saying all passengers in such situations can request a private screening. You were unaware of that,
yes.
I'd say a lot of people were. Regrettably,
I was not offered that, yes.
A full investigation, the incident was carried out by the team, and the situation should have been handled by the staff, should have been handled better by the staff member on the day. We are very sorry about this negative experience. We offer a full apology to you and can assure, assure that steps have been taken to ensure a similar situation is avoided.
This is not a reflection on the staff member. This is a reflection on their training.
Yeah, yeah. And they are. They have a very good reputation in Dublin Airport for good humour and courteousness. But this, as they say, a full investigation. The incident was carried out by the team, and the situation should have been handled better. But you're saying there should be signage. Well, it should be training. Obviously, it should be clear now. I say it is clear now.
Yes, but also when I'm getting on an aircraft, and you know, and I know, there are big signs. Sort of liquid such and such, prohibited items. I think there should be something at this stage in view of the fact that this is new technology, relatively new technology. in common usage that people with prostheses, whether they're breast prostheses or any other form of silicone, which wouldn't have come up before through the old scanners, it never ever bleeped before, that it should be said, you know, in case of prostheses of such and such.
It could be a generic sign. They don't need to identify.
Yes,
they could say
exactly.
If you wish for a private, if you were called aside and you wish for a private pat down or whatever the proper technical phrase is, you can request one.
There's no issue.
Okay. Yeah. Isn't one of the arguments these new machines? You don't have to put your liquids aside because you have to disrobe, which is awful. Awful.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Yeah.
In front of people. Okay. Well, and where are you now with DAA? Have you written back saying what are you doing?
I wrote back asking them that I want a clear language statement. And to say what happens next time I go through.
Okay.
So, I hope to be travelling again at some stage in the future. I hope to be going through Dublin Airport, which is my local airport. So what is the protocol? I want it in clear language.
And they say they will be back in touch with you presently.
They haven't been back in touch yet, but then you've been in touch with them this morning. So they're probably talking about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you should, I know you mentioned Carrick Finn in Donegal. Wasn't it voted recently, Railton, the most beautiful airport in the world in terms of
several times over.
Several times.
And it deserves every bit of that praise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm actually on Inishere at the minute.
Ah.
And Inishere Airport, I didn't fly in. I got the boat in on Friday before Storm Kathleen. But I'm telling you, that's another one to go to.
Oh, I know. I've been to Inishman many times on boat and plane, and the 6 minute plane journey from Inverin is just a sight to behold. Incredible.
Yes,
okay, we'll keep in touch, and hopefully you'll keep in touch with us, Railton, and we'll see. Hopefully, well, I suspect even in itself this has been an education, but I do listening
for
to
me
the,
anyway.
Yeah, but listening to the stories we heard, as I say, when those cuts were made a few weeks ago. From women like yourself who've gone through mastectomies, it is an education for so many people.
There is more than that, Joe. I mean, it's not just mastectomies, but I wear a lymphedema sleeve as well, which is very expensive.
Yeah.
And I used to get one paid for by the hospital that I attend every, because you have to attend physio. Yeah. That was withdrawn many years ago. I have to buy them now.
Okay.
And they're expensive.
Yeah. Okay. Good to meet you, Margaret, and enjoy the rest of your time. And Joe Duffy, Joe at RTE.ie. 51551 is the text number, and Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
I mentioned earlier that the government have bought two second-hand patrol boats from the New Zealand Navy, and they've arrived in Haulbowline in Cork. They cost $23 million. They were commissioned 15 years ago in 2009. But they've changed the names from... There were two New Zealand names, I think connected to the Maori community and also connected to lakes and places of interest in New Zealand. They were called the Rotoiti and the Pukaki. And they've changed the names to Gubnet and Aveen. And then somebody phoned in, I did not know this, that in maritime folklore, apparently, it's bad luck. And you know what bad luck means in maritime folklore? It's bad luck to change the names of the... two new ships we bought, the two patrol boats. So why couldn't we just retain the names? People are saying it's why are warships called after women, the most peaceful people on God's earth? And then the two names might be confusing going into foreign ports, Gubnet and Aveen. Okay, Donald Keddy, this is confusing. Donald, you have a Tesco voucher.
I do, Joe.
You went to spend the Tesco voucher. Good, thanks. You went to spend the Tesco voucher in Tesco, and they told you the product that you were going to buy is not covered by the voucher. Why?
I don't know, Joe, is the short answer. I suppose I was lucky enough. I won a 200 euro Tesco voucher in the Stag Rovers Lotto draw.
Okay.
So basically, I wouldn't shop in Tesco generally. So I went to redeem the voucher. I went to buy a one for all voucher in Tesco.
Okay.
And so I went to the counter and I was told, no, that's not going to work. And they asked why, and I wasn't given a reasonable explanation, I thought anyway, in my own mind. So this is, it's in our terms and conditions. And I said, well, it's not on the card. And it clearly states at the back of the card here, it says, gift cards cannot be exchanged for cash or credit. The card and balance will expire 5 years from purchase or last use. Gift cards are valuable and should be treated like cash. If they're lost, they cannot be replaced. Damaged, altered or cancelled cards will not be accepted. And that was it. So it doesn't say anything about me not being able to buy a one-for-all voucher with my card. And I suppose, you know, I found it frustrating. I thought that I'd be able to buy whatever I wanted in Tesco with it, and they basically told me that I can't.
Now, just to be clear, Tesco do sell one-for-all vouchers.
They do, yeah. Okay. So, like, you can pick up an actual card, one-for-all card. I think the maximum value of the card that you can buy in Tesco is 150 euro, 50 to 150 euro. So I had to pick up two, and I was going to buy two 100 euro one-for-all vouchers. I assume they activate them then on the checkout. And then there's a fee involved then for buying a one-for-all voucher, a one-for-all card in Tesco, which is 2 euro, I think, and which obviously I would have been happy to pay myself as well. But as I say, they reneged on us, and they refused to send me the card. And using the voucher.
The checkout person, did they take long to explain to you that you can't use a voucher to buy a voucher?
She tried to explain it to me. I said, but she says, well, you can't get credit. I said, but it's not credit. I said, there's 200 euro in this card, and I want to buy something with the 200 euro. And she says, well, but it's credit. And we had a brief over and back, and then there was like a queue of people behind me, which was a bit embarrassing, to be honest with you, because it was like my card being declined or something like that myself, you know, the kind of way. So yeah, so it's just,
you know. Did you take it further?
I did. I rang their customer service helpline. Now, I spoke with a gentleman and a lady on their helpline. Both of them were very polite, but they certainly weren't giving me any answers or certainly giving me a reasonable explanation as to why I couldn't use a Tesco voucher card to buy one for all gift card in Tesco. I also emailed their customer service, and the email just kept hopping back. So I may as well be emailing.
At no stage did they say, Donal, well, like it was a prize you won in Sligo Rovers draw or whatever. They didn't say, like, we gave the voucher to Sligo Rovers as a gesture of goodwill. So we presumed it would be spent on Tesco product in the shop.
No, never, no.
Okay. Tesco gift card can only be used for the purchase of products and services. Well, a gift card is a product, isn't it? This is their statement. Gift cards can't be used to purchase another Tesco gift card or other gift cards sold in Tesco stores. But obviously you wouldn't go in with a Tesco gift card saying, give us another one, I don't like the colour of that one. Sure you wouldn't. So that's fair enough. Gift cards can't be used. Tesco gift cards can't be used to buy another Tesco gift card. Or other gift cards. Yeah. Hang on, this is the thing. Or other gift cards sold in Tesco stores, which is called out on the back of the gift card.
It's not, no.
But have you still got it?
I believe you.
You're hardly making it up, for God's
sake. Yeah, yeah.
What does it say in the back of the gift card?
It says gift cards cannot be exchanged for cash or credit. That's all it says. The card and balance will expire 5 years from the purchase or last use. Gift cards are valuable and should be treated like cash. If lost, they cannot be replaced, damaged, altered or cancelled cards will not be accepted.
You see, as we discovered over the years here, gift cards are a gift horse for many companies, because something like various studies from the US to here show that up to 18% of gift cards end up lost down the back of the couch. So that's a win for the company anyway, who sell the gift cards. And then some companies, which did change, but didn't change enough, I think, there shouldn't be expiry dates. There shouldn't be 5 years in that Tesco gift. They could do it under the legislation. Now, they used to be shorter times. because it say you should be treated as cash, but your cash doesn't suddenly do a Mission Impossible tape after 5 years and disintegrate or ignite. They say, oh, but this is the get-out clause. This is common policy, Donald, across most retailers.
But, where did you see the policy, Joe? Because it certainly wasn't in the shop, you know. And based on the conversation that I had with the guard in the checkout and the two people I spoke to in customer service, they were very much aware that you can't use a gift card to buy a one-for-all voucher. But unfortunately, they don't make that clear to the customer, like.
Now, by the way, the minimum expiry date that you can have in a gift card, the minimum is 5 years. So they haven't even gone beyond that. They could, by the way. It could go on because they're going on about it being cash. They could have gone on for, it's indefinite. You don't have to use it in one go. Okay, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
And more, I'm just on the CPC the CCPC website, which gives those details. So what are you going to do? Would you not just spend it in Tesco?
I have a bit of a thing now, Joe. I'm going to try and find some sort of resolution for myself that suits me, like, you know. But I just thought, like, I know that you're a good man on the gift card scene. You've highlighted the issue there before, and that's why you challenged yourself on it. I think
it will come as a revelation to a lot of people that you can't when you go into a shop, when you get a gift card for one shop, it could be there's a bit of a clue in the name, a gift card, you're giving it as a gift, you didn't necessarily buy it, but as a gift then you might use it in any particular way you like, and one of the ways you might want to use it is to buy another type of gift card. So what's the problem?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure someone gave cash for the card, John, the kind of way I saw.
Yeah. Okay, now the other, you know, they have maintenance fees as well. This is a new thing, at one for all, and your gift card is devaluing in your pocket, which is weird. Now, not every gift card devalues in your pocket over time, but some do, including the one for all, because of the so-called management fee. Okay, Donald, we see where we get on it. We keep pushing, and as you know, every little helps. That's Donald Kelly. Gubnet Kelly, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
How are you?
You're on a vehicle.
What about?
I have no complaints.
Are you great? Are you delighted that a new warship is going to be named after you?
Well, a warship, maybe a protection vessel. Can we call it that instead?
Oh, yeah, but it has weapons.
Okay, I'm not here to argue that.
They're not going to throw balloons at the Spanish fishermen who are plundering our seas, or whoever else is plundering our seas, or drug dealers or whatever. It has got armaments.
Yeah.
Okay, now
two great names are going to give them.
Gubnet and Avian.
Yeah, great Irish names with great histories.
Kira and Orla, they're replacing Kira and Orla.
Yeah.
And have you ever, because when people say Gubnet, they think of Frank Kelly and Gubnet O'Lunasa, don't they? 12 Days of Christmas.
Yes. Yes, this was a sore point for me for years and years.
Tell us.
My mother's name is Gubnet, and my name is Gubnet, and my daughter's name is Sarah Gubnet, and my nieces are Gubnets as well, so it's a family name. But I do remember when I was a teenager, about 16, 17, around about 1978, that time, I worked in a pub while I was in college, and it was called Dirty Nelly's. And this was ever before the internet started, or mobile phones, or smartphones. So the celebrities in those days were politicians, footballers, movie stars. So for us in Nelly's, we used to get an awful lot of the RTE coming down.
Okay.
Who would be doing shows locally or maybe doing discos locally. And we'd always bring them into Nelly's and put them into the back for a bit of peace and quiet. But one particular man that used to travel with the RTE crew was Frank Kelly. And he was a quiet man.
Yeah, lovely.
Never knew him to be a drinker or anything like that.
People know him as Father Jack and Father Ted.
Yes, and that was a reincarnation of him again.
It was, yes.
And he had many personalities in the world I know. Now, I only knew him through my workplace. I was in college and I used to work here at the weekend. But Frank used to sit at the bar and he'd have a mineral and he'd be chatting away and he'd say to me, "What's your name?" I'd say, "Gubnet." And he'd say, oh, I know that name. A friend of mine, her sister's name is Gubman. She lives in Limerick. Turns out he knew my aunt in Dublin very well. And he was referring to my mother. And I copped this, but I never said a word to him. But he was going on about, what's your surname? I said, Kelly. He said, oh, my name's Kelly. And then he met the other barmaid that was there, and her name was Nuala Kelly. Between the push and the shove, and he used to always pretend we were cousins. And eventually then he wrote this song, The 12 Days of Christmas, about okay. Gubmish and Nuala. Now, Gubmish was a man in this, but that didn't matter. Ah. You know, it was anything. But every time he's come back to Nelly's, we would always get his food, and we'd load it up with stuff. If he ordered a steak, we'd give him a load of maraschino cherries, which were popular in bars in those days, and we'd load it up with him with stupid stuff, and he'd say, that's the cousins behind the bar again, table my food. He made our lives absolutely miserable every Christmas for all the years we worked there.
But this is a clip out of the song. This is a clip of the song.
Dear Nuala, thank you very much for your lovely present of a partridge and a pear tree. We're getting the hang of feeding the partridge now. Although it was difficult at first to win its confidence, it bit the mother rather badly in the hand. But they're good friends now, and we're keeping the pear tree indoors in a bucket. Thank you again. Yours affectionately, Gubnet.
And there you have it, you see, Gubnet. What were you called in school? What were you short?
I was called Gubnet. Well, it was an Irish school. No, there was only two Gubby people that were short.
Not Gubby or Gob
name.
Or Nettie or
my father,
No?
My father, my eldest brother, Sean, always called me Gubby. And that was it. Nobody else was allowed to do that.
What do you think of it being shortened to Gubby?
Well, I don't mind. I'd never respond to it. You know yourself
okay,
now.
Okay, okay.
You don't have to respond to these things.
Say with us, Gubnet. And of course, it's male and female.
It is Gubon or Gubnet.
Now,
yeah.
you know it has absolutely nothing to do with you, nothing to do with any science or reality, but it's no popularity anymore. In according to the Central Statistics Office, the most common name for a boy in Ireland in 2023 was Jack. Okay. Then James is up there as well. Noah is up there. Grace was the number one most popular girl's name in Ireland in 2023. Emily, Sophie, Lily and Fia were the other four names which made up the top five. There's some Irish names. Original Irish names. Grace, Emily, Sophie, Ava, Ifada, A-B-H-A, entering the top five. Caelan, Jude, Paddy, Aina and Dahi are the new five new entrants in the top 100 names for boys, obviously. And in the top 100 names for girls in 2023, there are two Irish names, but there's no sight or sound of Gubnet. It's Lucia, Kyla and Shifra, the three Irish names. With Shifra rising up the ranks, the fastest going from, it went from 157th place in 2022 to 100th place in 2023. Shifra. Now, do you know anyone? I know everyone in your family. Sorry, at least one in every generation. As you say, Gubnet is called Gubnet. Isn't that correct? Your daughter, a few other people have to. Now, but have you ever come across another Gubnet? Speak freely, Gubnet.
Well, when I talk to some of my family, including my daughter, obviously,
you
yes.
You do, yes. But I mean, outside the WhatsApp group.
Well, I tell you, I did work with a bakery in West Cork.
Yes.
Down in Ballingeary. And Ballingeary, Ballyvourney is another big strong point. And when I worked in Kerry, you'd find a lot of Gubnets as well.
Around the body, isn't that where is it? Where is she? Was a saint, and I think it's not the part.
She was a saint, and she was okay. Famous too for fighting off thieves.
And what about the pronunciation of your name, especially by people who hear it who are reading it maybe for the first time?
Oh, it is very funny. So you get all kinds of things with it. But I think what's more prominent today and popular is the name Abby, Debbie, Ina, and these are all versions of Gubnet.
Oh, are they?
Abigail. They're all, yeah, it's very popular still.
How do you get Abigail out of Gubnet? That's some blender you put the G-O-B-N-A-I-T into to get Abigail.
Well, it's a bit like Rebecca. They're all connected with beekeepers, and it's in some of the old Bible terminology as well, that the beekeeper called Gubnet or Rebecca, and Abigail would be the same. It would be the old English version.
Why would you want the medieval saint, patron saint of beekeepers, Gubnet, such a peaceful, tranquil, no, but such a peaceful, tranquil, life-affirming, environmentally friendly engagement, i.e. beekeeping. Why would you want that written on the side of a warship?
Well, I'd prefer to see it written more often.
Okay. Sorry, stay there, Governor. Stay there, Governor. Anthony Carey, Anthony.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
I mentioned earlier, apparently in maritime folklore, somebody contacted to say it's bad luck to change the name of a ship.
We've done it before.
Okay, I'm sure we have. Tell us.
So in the Rising, the British forces sent a gunboat up the Liffey to shell the GPO called the Helga.
I know it well.
And it's all from the Lorcan Collins brilliant tour.
Yes,
that
great
I did
tour.
Many years ago. But one of the first rounds that they fired actually hit the Loop Line Bridge, and it ricocheted off the bridge and nearly hit them themselves their own round. Obviously they did a lot of damage. But when the state was founded, it was given to the state, and obviously we couldn't have a vessel that was shelling the forecourts, the GPO and forecourts in the Irish Naval Service. So it was renamed to the Omuraku, the first Irish vessel in the Naval Service. So we've done it before.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's another reason. Like, none of these two New Zealand patrol boats that we've just bought for $23 million and transported at enormous cost on a ship, by the way, from Auckland to... they're going to be based in Dunleary, apparently. None of those two ships ever bombed us.
No, they didn't.
So there's no... And they have two beautiful names, Patiki and Rakaiki. They're two... Apparently, there's a Maori connection in New Zealand, but also they are associated with beautiful landmarks in and lakes in New Zealand. So I can understand. I can understand the Helga being renamed. God, we should.
The Naval Service might say it's part of our soft power that when a ship, an Irish vessel, goes on a mission overseas, that it won't be confused with a New Zealand vessel, and that. It's part of the soft power to have the...
Yeah, hang on. We've already called the ships, called them... Well, everything is called after James Joyce. It's unbelievable. James Joyce Bridge, James Joyce Street, James Joyce House, James Joyce Liqueur, James Joyce Whiskey. We've the James Joyce ship in the Irish Navy. If it's not called after James Joyce, it's called after Samuel Beckett, Samuel Beckett Bridge, Samuel Beckett Whiskey, Samuel Beckett Irish Cream, Samuel Beckett Warship. Two men, by the way, who hated the country, didn't even live here. But anyway, why don't we call the new one in Cork? Why don't we call it the John B. Keane? Or the Sean O'Casey? Or the Brian McMahon?
Yep, I wouldn't object. I think that the big ticket item is it's really good news for the Naval Service.
Oh yeah, hopefully, and they look great. And I hope. Anyway, Anthony, the problem is, I know you loved the 1916 walking tour with Locke and Collins as I do, but it sounds like you're ringing from Crown Alley Exchange in 1916, one of the first places the rebels took over. That's Anthony Carey, Brendan Rohan, Brendan.
Yes, Joe.
You're a retired. Yes, retired sailor, Brendan.
I'm a retired army officer, a retired businessman, and now of late a retired sailor.
So you couldn't hold down a job?
Well, let's say I eventually took the hint that I needed to change my occupation.
Okay, what do you think of the warships being called Gubnet and Avian? Gubnet.
I think, I'm not so sure they're warships, but anyway, I think it's nice to have an Irish name on them. And somebody said about them being unlucky. Well, see, there's an old tradition.
Yeah.
In the time of wooden ships, Joe, the name of the ship was carved into the rudder.
Ah.
So to change the name of a ship, you had to sand down the rudder to carve the new name into it, and therefore you weakened it. So that's why it's considered unlucky.
Oh, that's fascinating. I thought you were going to say for a moment, Brendan, shows how much I know, that to change the name on the rudder would have been dangerous for whoever was doing the job, but it's not. It would weaken the rudder because, as you said, you have to sand off the original name, which could have been carved into the wood, and you had to carve again.
Yes, and when I bought the boat that I have now to sail the Atlantic, I changed the name. It was also owned by and built by a man called Brendan to sail the Atlantic. and he got from America to Ireland in it. He did that three times single-handedly, actually. And then I decided I wanted to follow our namesake's journey from Brandon Creek to the Caribbean because I felt maybe a connection with what... And my ancestors are from that part of Kerry, you see. So decided to follow. But the Brendan voyage, that story, what's interesting about that is that I was hospitalized with a back injury. I wasn't able to walk for nearly 8 months. And a friend of mine brought me the Brendan voyage by Tim Severn. And one of my soldiers brought me the tape of the music. So I was listening to this on a Sony Walkman while reading the book. And I decided, regardless that I'm afraid of water all my life, I'm going to buy a boat as soon as I get out of hospital. If I can ever walk again, I'm going to learn how to sail.
I was only listening.
I went down to Cork.
Yeah.
I bought myself a boat, a small sailing boat. And on my way home, I bought a book to teach myself how to sail and never look back.
Well done. And the Brendan voyage, I only listened to it again the other day. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
But
Sean Davey, Rita Condy, Liam Hogue.
Beautiful music. Yeah, it's really, really inspiring. It's amazing. And of course, another cousin of mine, one of the Begleys, another Brendan, I mean, they did it, their own Brendan voyage in a curragh.
Oh, I saw,
to
remember
Santiago.
That. In Spain, with Tommy. Tommy Tierney was with them and... couple of Theo Dorgan, I think, was with him as well. Yeah, another voyage.
Yeah, for a period. Yeah,
but you changed the name of the boat you bought.
Yes, it was called Caramore, which is where this man's family had come from. They left Ireland when he was four, and he always had a dream.
And why
to come
did
back.
You change? Why did you not leave it at Caramore? And so you could say, people say, where's the name come from? It's a bit of a story.
I could have done that, but my property and my business then was Carcregan in Donegal, just outside Dunfanaghy. I've spoken to you about that before, and I decided to call it Carcregan for that reason.
Okay. Yeah. Brendan, good to meet you. That's Brendan Rowan. Governor, how are you bearing up, Governor?
I'm still here. Isn't that a lovely history there?
Yeah, lovely bit of history.
How your boat would be unsafe.
Lovely. Yeah. Have you ever come across anyone, Governor, either with the name Governor or any other name, who said, as soon as I can, I'm going to change... I know a lot of people change their surname or take on a new... but I'm going to change my Christian name.
Oh, yes. And I'll probably be slated for saying this now.
Please.
I have a niece who's down in Cork.
Yes.
And her name is... her original name was Governor Fiona Alley. She's half Irish, half West Indian, Trinidadian.
Yeah.
But she married a Limerick lad, and she's now Kelly, and she herself and her husband have their family below. But she changed her name from Gubnet to Fiona. She took the second name that her mom and dad gave her, because in the West Indies, in Trinidad, they couldn't pronounce Gubnet.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
And say we decide to invade the West Indies with our two little patrol boats. They won't be able to pronounce it. They won't be in the
Jesus, you know, when they're communicating. You're very aggressive today. What's all this about invasion of warships? Relax,
and when they reach out for help, we're being invaded by two ships. We're thinking from Ireland, but we can't pronounce either name. Stay with us, Governor, for one sec. Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Before I keep talking about boats and maritime affairs, a big shout out, not that they need it, because I think people realise it immediately, to the RNLI station in Dunleary in Dublin, who you saw that remarkable life-affirming rescue on Saturday evening. I think it was around 8 o'clock by the lifeboat from Dunleary, all volunteers, as you know. Andrew Sykes was the man who jumped into the sea in its full gear, and they were there in minutes, and all the other emergency service were there. So, and it is, as you know, the 200th anniversary of the RNLI in the UK, and the two islands, as you know, is where they cover. So well done to everyone involved in the RNLI. And as you know, the vast majority, maybe a mechanic or two have to service the ships, but the vast majority of people in the RNLI, and you'd be surprised, look at the list of stations around the coast of Ireland, are all volunteers. Joe Varley. Joe, good afternoon. National Maritime Museum of Ireland, based in Dunleary in Dublin. Someone says, why don't we call the new boat after Dunleary's most famous resident, the late Maeve Binchy? Or Docky. She's more Docky, isn't she? Yeah, I think she's born than Leary. May Binchy or Peg Sayers. Or what do you think? I'll begin where we began. Gubnet, cover your ears. Gubnet? Cover your ears. Cover your ears for a sec, Gubnet. Joe, what do you think of the name Gubnet?
I think it's absolutely marvellous. And I'll tell you why, Joe. Because when we actually, after the Second World War, when we decided we would have a navy, and we've had three, but kind of two of them went by the way, and the third one is the one we have now. In effect, actually, the three corvettes we got from the Royal Navy, we called them the Tlina, the Maeve, and the Mocha.
Okay.
And basically, they were after Irish mythological heroes. They were very distinctive, and they were very distinctive. And I think myself, kind of getting back to Gubnet, it's a lovely West Cork name. Years ago, I was a trainee instructor, kind of a sailing instructor down in Bear Island, and we had a trainee called Gubnet, so I've heard the name. It's a very, very traditional name, I think, around Inchigeela and all that area. It's a saint down that way, yeah.
Okay. And did you mention the Mocha, and what were the other names you mentioned, the original?
The Tlina, the Maeve, and the Mocha.
The Tlina, the Maeve, and the Mocha. Isn't that a song?
It is, Ronnie Drew.
Drew. We might try and find it. Clean of the Maeve and the Mocha, where you cycle home for your dinner. Wasn't that the line?
Well, to be quite frank and honest, they took a certain amount of liberties there, you know?
Okay, now, maritime folklore, is it bad luck to change the name of a ship or a boat?
It's probably not bad luck, but it's not usual. And like I was listening to the gentleman there, kind of who changed the name from where it originally started. The name's basically kind of, it depends really on, you'd get the pleasure boats and inevitably the names there, they have a family connection or they've something that it makes sense to the particular people who own them. The big commercial boats, they usually use the names as a form of identity. For instance, the Irish shipping vessels, they were always called after trees, the Irish fir, the Irish plane. The headline of Belfast, kind of, they were called after the tops of Peninsulope in Northern Ireland. And the ones that people might be familiar with, the big Maersk boats, the big green container ships. They're called always the Susan Maersk, the kind of Amelia Maersk. And they get in the Maersk and they also get in a family name. And there's a tradition in that Danish company, maybe going back two or three generations, and that's the way they do it. And inevitably, if the tradition really is, if the ship is sunk through misadventure or through one thing or another, they obviously don't use the name because to be considered bad luck.
Yeah. I could see. I could understand. By the way, why are ships always referred to as she?
It's the big mother thing. It is the great mother who minds her family, and the maternal aspect there is the ship looks after the crew and it looks after the cargo. It's a big maternal thing.
Okay, I never heard that before. But do you ever hear anyone objecting to a ship being called a she, Joe?
No.
In the world we live in?
No, never.
Okay.
It never happened, you know?
Do you know any Gubnets, Joe, in real life?
I do. This lady, kind of, who was a trainee, and I'd say this is a trainee we had. I was tied up with Glenarm Sailing School at the time, and we used to do preliminary sailing courses. And this Gubnet lady, kind of, she's out there listening, kind of, how are you? But I would have thought this was nearly about 30 years in Bear Island, and the last I heard of her, she was running a B&B near Barna in County Galway.
Okay, glad you're up to stay.
But I've certainly met the lady. I think it's a lovely name.
Okay. Stay with us, Joe. Eileen Gubnet, Neil Leonard. Eileen, do I call you Eileen or Gubnet, you see?
Well, you could call me Eileen, you could call me Eileen Gubnet, but Eileen, normally people call me Eileen, but I'm Eileen Gubnet.
Okay,
I'm happy to be called either.
Okay, and why were you called Eileen Gubnet?
Because I'm from a parish called Ballyvourna in the Gaeltacht of Moosgree, and she is our patron saint. So Gubnet, Saint Gubnet, Maeve Gubnet, it's believed she was born in Mayo. Mm-hmm. She had a falling out with her father because she wanted to be a nun, and she went off to the Aran Islands to do her training. And whilst there, an angel appeared to her and told her she was to go and build a nunnery or a convent wherever she came across nine white deer. So she travelled by boat.
Eileen Gubnet,
She was a pirate's daughter as well.
Sorry, whatever she came across, nine white what?
Deer.
Deer, okay.
I know. Yes, yeah.
Yes, okay.
But she did travel. She was seafaring. It's believed she was a pirate's daughter. Now, there's a couple of folklore stories attached to her. But she did travel by sea from the Aran Islands down to Dunhuin, where she spent some time there. And over a period of time, she eventually arrived in Ballyvourne, where she found her nine white deer, having gone from Dunhuin to Sneem to Limerick to Madeisha and Ryan in Portlaoise, and then down to Mala, and then on to a neighbouring parish, Clarkwundrod, where she eventually then came to Ballyvourne and found her nine white deer. So she's buried here. She's a 6th century saint.
Okay.
And we had the first Féile Gobnet this year, a 3-day festival, where a whole boatload of pilgrims came from Inishir. And with them, they brought a curragh called the Nave Gobnet, which was made by an artist from Galway. Now, her name escapes me. But she used the images of, some of the images she used were the images that Harry Clark has used on his stained glass window in the Honan Chapel in Cork. Right. And there's also a stained glass window of her in Gugan Barra Church. So she's very well regarded here.
And there is a maritime connection. That's your point.
There certainly is, yeah. But like we had on our festival, there was at least 30 to 50 governors who arrived on the day. We had the Queen Bee competition because obviously she was patron saint of bees. We had the Museum of Country Life from... the art museum, the Héireann from Mayo came down and gave a talk on her. We had some of the archaeologists from Cork. We have our own local archaeologists who had commissioned with the Cork County Council two images of a particular statue that we hold here in the parish, a 13th century wooden statue of her, and they made two replicas of those. People come from all over the world, all over the country to see where she was buried and to give devotion, I suppose. We're very proud of her.
And are many governors turned up?
Oh, there was at least 50 turned up. But last year I held a Zoom call. I held a thing like a one-day festival last year. And they came from Australia, South Africa, America, Ireland. One woman drove from Belfast that morning of the festival last year because she heard there was something on in Ballyvourne. So they're all over the world. You know the amazing thing is, Joe, that if you hear anybody called Gobnet, you know they have a connection with Ballyvourne and with West Cork.
But according to the CSO, Gobnet doesn't feature as a name, even in the top 100 of Irish girls' names.
As your other Gobnet there mentioned, a lot of them now are called Abby, because that's the anglicised version of Gobnet. So it'd be Abigail, Abby, Deborah, Gail. Yeah.
Sure, nobody sober in their right mind would connect Abbey with Gobnet, would they?
I know, it's a kind of unusual thing, but I suppose when you anglicise names, a lot of names are anglicised.
Okay, Eileen Gobnet, say with us for a second. Karen Dempsey, Interfaith Director of Entios, you say you love St. Gobnet.
Hi, Joe. I think when we have these Celtic pre-Christian saints, particularly the strong women like Gobnet, like Brigid, like, you know, all of these people. And I shouldn't even use the word saint because we're in the realms of Guanyuel there as well, you know, the pirate queens and these really, really strong, powerful women who were written out of history, really, by, you know, when we became a more Christian country and when, you know, various different pagan traditions got written off. I think when we're talking about this now, whether the ship should be named Gobnet or not, because of the popularity of the name, I think that's a completely irrelevant point.
Okay.
Because if we were to go on the relevance of names, we would lose all of those beautiful ancient Celtic...
But we are. There's no one being... is there any baby in the country under the age of 5 called Gobnet? 0818 715 815 joe@rg.ie. Is there any Gobnet in Ireland under the age of 5?
Do you know, Joe, when I was in school... You know, in primary school, you used to get everybody had their name translated into Irish. And anybody called Deborah, their name was translated to Gobnet. So we would have, and it was a bit of a jokey name because with all the love in the world,
and you don't mind the name Gobnet, Karen, given your background, so to speak, and your interest, you don't mind the name being on a ship that carries armaments?
That's a different point now. I have no interest in any ships carrying armaments. So yeah, I will backtrack on that one, all right, because that was a point I hadn't.
Yeah, but how do we stop the drug dealers? How do we, like, We need a navy.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to call the ship a name. Using that name.
Yeah, but we can't throw donuts at the cocaine dealers, can we?
We cannot throw donuts at the cocaine dealers. Now, this is a whole different realm.
Or maybe the name Gubnet now will make a comeback. Maybe the name Karen will make the name Gubnet will make a comeback. But of all the people ringing in saying it's a beautiful name, would someone ring in and say it's a beautiful name, so beautiful that I name my baby Gubnet? Let's wait and see.
Do you think there's anybody in the country called Karen under the age of 5? That's another terrible name.
What do you think about the way Karen has been traduced in the last few years?
It's a cross we carry.
Okay, Karen Dempsey, good to Margaret. Joe Varley, Eileen, Gubnet, Neil Leonard, good to Mila Margaret, and Gubnet Kelly as well. Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe, RT.ie. Kenya Kerber has contacted us. Kenya, good afternoon.
Hello.
Well, what happened?
So, my friend came here to visit me.
Yeah, okay.
And we decided to go on a tour around the island, you know. And then we got this tour, we booked the tour, and we got left there. They left us there, and it was raining, you know.
Where did they leave you, Kenya? Where?
They left me on the middle of nowhere. There was like nothing there, just farms around.
And where is the middle of nowhere, if you're pardon?
It's in the north of the country.
So you're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And did you see the bus driving off, the paddy wagon bus?
So we were going on a straight line. We saw everyone going.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were a bit far from us, and we were going to the bus. And then suddenly there was like a hill, and we couldn't see anyone. And then when we arrived there to get the bus was not there anymore.
Okay. And had you any way of contacting the bus?
So, yeah, we called the company, and then, you know, asking where's the bus, what we should do.
Uh-huh.
And then they told us that we should go to the next location where the bus was going, and then that the bus driver were not going to come back to get us. So we should maybe get a taxi or something.
But you're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, and then
How do you get from the middle of nowhere to the middle of somewhere?
So we found a lovely couple.
Okay.
On the way.
Okay.
And then we asked her, you know, like,
where are we?
Are you? Yeah. Where are we? You know. And then they said that they would give us a ride until the next city.
Okay.
So we can take a bus, you know, go back to Dublin.
Now,
but
had you had on that trip you took with Paddy Wagon, Kenya, had there been previous stops? Was there a system where they count?
We stopped for lunch as well.
Okay.
And we stopped also, in other places, see some castles, some places. Yeah.
But what was the procedure when were you told be back in 15 minutes? When you got back on the bus successfully at a previous stop, did they count everyone on? Did the driver say, is everyone back on the bus?
The driver was counting, was everything okay? And then we had to lunch. And then after lunch, we went to this new location. And then there, we were left there. This new place we were left there.
Okay.
Yeah, and our belongings were all in the bus.
Yes.
You know, so yeah, we didn't have any wallet. Even if we wanted to get a bus or train or something.
Okay.
Yeah. So those strangers, they drove us back to the place where was the bus. We called the company. They told us where the bus was. And then after they drove us, we found the bus, you know. Like, I think that they drove for an hour or something until we reached where the bus was.
Okay, and what reaction have you got? You've been onto the company Paddy Wagon since.
Yeah, so that's why we booked with them. You know, we saw many good reviews on Google, and but then when we called them, they said that we should text them, you know, send an email actually requesting for the refund because this wasn't supposed to happen. And then I sent an email. I didn't got any follow up, and then that's why I contacted you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Paddy Furlong of John Furlong of Paddy Wagon is on the line. John, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How you doing? Hello, Kenya.
What happens?
Hands up on this one, Joe. It was totally our fault. We have a lot of people that come back late to buses, and we're used to that. You know, we have to look after people, especially vulnerable people along the Cliffs of Moher, things like that. And we really relate with the staff on the ground there as well. This particular place, the middle of nowhere, it's quite a famous place in Northern Ireland, and there's a hotel nearby, a golf course, all that sort of thing. But there was another incident with the particular driver that we had. He wasn't very nice to Kenya and a few other people. We took it very, very seriously and we dealt with that. Kenya, I believe, had to grab a lift from that place to Belfast.
Yeah.
And joined the Paddy Wagon bus there.
Okay.
We don't like leaving people behind.
Yeah, of course not.
You know, especially in the middle of nowhere. You know, it's not a nice thing to do. And I can imagine sort of the horrors that Kenya felt, you know, seeing the bus drive off or driving the bus not there. And you're vulnerable. You have no money. Your wallet's on the bus. You know, it's a bad thing to happen. And
But you will resolve it now, will you, to Kenya's satisfaction?
Absolutely. Okay. We would love to resolve it. We will compensate with Kenya. Absolutely. And hope she has a good result out of that.
Okay. Yeah. And what's the season looking like this year?
We're busy. We're very, very, very busy. Yes. We have a good crew. We have good buses.
And then what nationality is big this year? Is the same as, is it European, American?
Brazilians is good. Yeah. Americans a bit slow coming in, but they are coming eventually. Look what's on the books here.
And John, how soon do you think it'll be before you'll be picking up passengers from the new international airport just outside Arklow?
That'll be tomorrow. That's tomorrow. Yeah, once we get the bus license route and everything else done, we're always ready.
Kenya, we'll put you in touch with John Furlong and Paddy Wagon during this break. That's Kenya Kerber.
Okay.
Kenya, will your friend come back to Ireland?
No, she's not. She already went to other countries.
No, but hopefully she will come back in the future.
But I really hope so, because she liked a lot, you know. And the other bus driver that helped us was really lovely, you know, he was really
and
nice.
You can, you can tell your friend that if anyone ever asks her where the middle of nowhere is, she said she knows because she was in it. She was in it. Okay. Thanks indeed. And I know you're adamant that you arrived back at the bus within the specified time. Okay, Kenya Kerber, Gordy Milamarkett and John Furlong of Paddy Wagon, Joe with RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Ted Neville. Ted, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Gubnet again, Cork, the name.
It's not
unusual, as Tom Jones would say.
Not entirely, but certainly thinning. There's no doubt it's thinning. I was listening to Eileen Gubnet, and her contributions kind of covered more or less what I was going to say. But one interesting thing, I think, is that in the past, traditionally, Gubnet would have been anglicised to the name Abina in English, spelt A-B-I-N-A. And whilst I'm no authority, as far as I know, it's a biblical name. I don't know what the exact context is. And Abina then, very colloquially, would also be even abbreviated itself to Bina. I would say Abbey is a kind of a modern, perhaps more more trendy sort of a variation on it, you know.
So it turns into boina.
Yeah, well, as anglicised, a boina, A B I N A, and then abbreviated again to boina, B I N A, wouldn't be entirely uncommon in Muskerry, or on the hinterland of Ballyvourna from which it originated, you know.
Yeah, but all I'm hearing since I mentioned Governor, when I was talking to Louise earlier on, is all I'm hearing is people saying, well, the name is very common, but it's shortened to various different iterations from Deborah to Boina to Aboina to Abigail. Okay, stay there, Ted. Aboina, Aboina, Boina McMurrow.
Yes, that's me.
Do I call you Boina or Aboina?
Either, doesn't matter. I'm called either Aboina or Boina, depending.
Okay. And go back to Governor.
Governor is the Irish for Aboina. And my mother is from West Cork, from Ballingarry, so she was called Abby.
Ah. But was the word governor on any documentation?
Let me first no, that. Not unless you were called in Irish school, Governor Ní Conaillon, which I was known at the time.
Okay.
But I've never been called governor.
And Boina, do you know many governors?
No. None at all. Yes. The only time I've heard it once on the radio or twice on the radio, and until you started today, I didn't know there were so many.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't know if there's many young governors.
No, well, I'm 81, so I don't know how old.
But that's still young. That's still young. Have you any? Is there anyone in the family?
I have a daughter, and she's called Michelle Aboina. Michelle after my husband, and Aboina after me.
Okay. And your husband Michelle is called after who?
My husband is Michael. Was Michael. My daughter was called Michelle after him.
Oh, okay.
So there you are.
So there are women called Michael, as you know.
Oh, no.
Well, Michael in the mammy, not the granny now, the mammy in the Waltons, her name in real life was Michael Learned. You pick up the most useless information here in life when I'm sitting here. Where's Stay there, Boina?
Okay.
That's a lovely name, Boina. I love it. Julie. Why aren't you called Governor? You were due to be called Governor. Your mother told half the country she was expecting a Governor. What happened?
Julie. So my mum is Julie. A writer.
Yes.
She went with Julie, I think from Julie Christie, her love of 1960s and 70s films with Julie Christie and Terrence Stamp, of course. So that's where Julie came from. But in 1985, I was very late and she was waiting for me. And she's a writer. So the article was called Waiting for Governor.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Which is a play on the Beckett play of Waiting for Godot.
Of course. And where did this article about your impending arrival and your impending christening, where did this appear, do you know, Julie?
This was in U magazine in 1985.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'd say autumn because I'm October, but I was I was late.
So you arrived shortly thereafter, and after declaring to the nation that her new daughter, please God, will be called Governess, she ran a mile to Julie. What happened?
Oh, well, I think it's just more of a play on the words, and she was researching Irish names, interesting Irish names. But yeah, the love of Julie Christie. I guess when she saw me, and you know, I'm the spitting image of Julie Christie, of course.
Okay.
That I reminded her. I think that's the thing, you know, when you see the baby and certain names.
Yeah, do you say she didn't look like a governess?
No, I didn't look like a governess, but I look like a Julie.
Do you know any governess?
No, I don't. I really like the name Boina. That's an interesting name.
Boina's
a
lovely
name.
An
interesting take. Yeah. Yeah, I've named my own daughter Florence.
Florence, why? Well, why not, Sajid? But why? It's a beautiful name.
Yeah, it's a beautiful name. I found it hard to pick a name. You know, you're picking a name for somebody, and it's a big thing. They're going to be their name. It's what their friends will call them. It's what they'll write as their signature forever. But there's a Florence on my mum's side. Her granny was Florence, and we call her Flory sometimes.
And did you ever go through a phase, Julie, almost, Governor, J-A-G for short, in my mind from now on, Jag, did you ever go for, through a phrase with your pals in school where you all wanted to change your Christian names?
Only when we were pretending to be members of the Spice Girls band, and I obviously was Jerry Halliwell because I've got red hair.
Okay.
You're gonna wealth of names there.
Well, Julie almost governed good meal a mongot. Thanks, Julie, and kind regards to Florence, obviously. Declan McGinn, Declan.
Yes, hiya, Joe.
You see, you were telling me there's loads of people called Governor, but they're not called, they're christened Governor, but they're not called Governor. It's Abby, Abina, Deborah, Abigail. So, okay, the connection.
To the best of my knowledge is, yes. When the anglicisation with being Abby or Abigail, etc., is from the French word api, A-P-I.
Okay.
Because of Gubnet being the the patron of beekeepers, the patronage of beekeepers.
Yeah.
Because on St. Gubnet's statue in Ballyvernian, County Cork, it's surrounded by bees at the base of it.
Okay.
And which was a reference to St. Gubnet's patronage of beekeepers. So the name Abby comes from the French api, A-P-I.
Okay.
And Abina, somebody came on there a moment ago and said,
yeah,
Abina.
Abina, yeah, lovely name. Right?
And again, the first three letters, API, is just a softer sounding for Abby. So that's to the best of my knowledge, that's the connection between the bees and Gubnet and the name Abby and Abina and Abigail.
Okay, and have you provenance in this area, Declan?
I just like the origination of words.
Okay.
And names. So
now, do you, Declan McGinn? Do you know any Gubnets?
I've heard of some over the years, but I can't say I know any.
Okay.
No.
Would you ever? I don't know if you have children or had children. Would you ever consider calling any of them Gubnet?
I think it's a great Irish name.
Okay, that's no
great
longer
Irish
that's
name.
No longer in existence for babies.
Oh, we'll have to get working on that.
Okay,
though.
I take your word for it, Declan. Good to meet him, Margaret. That's Declan McGinn.
Sorry, it's
good with Slot. Joe Williams, Joe.
Ah, Joe, how are you?
Good. The maritime tradition of renaming ships being bad luck. Tell us.
Well, I was watching an episode, Chase, you know that?
Yeah, it's
program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Chase, yeah.
She said the last ship...
Okay.
Surviving ship from Pearl Harbor.
Okay.
Was sold on by the Americans to the Argentine Navy.
Wow. Okay.
And that they named it the Belgrano.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so talk about bad luck.
Yeah. Well, and that was a war crime when Thatcher sank the Belgrano.
Yeah. Because they were on the way home.
On the way back. Oh my God! Okay, that could, but you have to Chase as your source there, so it's true. Joe, do you know any Gubnets?
No, Joe. Unfortunately, no. But you know, Frank Kelly got a letter off the Queen.
No, tell me.
Yeah, she loved the record.
I don't believe you. Well, that's great.
Yeah, and she got a letter from Buckingham Palace.
I was watching
the documentary
from Queen Gubnet. That'll be the day. Go to meet a Margaret Joseph. Jim O'Connor, Jim.
Hi, hello, Joe.
Gubnet. Do you know anyone called Gubnet?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
I've met a few, but not before I came down to live here in West Cork. I'm a Tipperary man, and I now live for my sins near Castledown Bear.
Okay.
But, you know, I've always been interested in local history and stuff, and But 20 years ago, I was attracted to go up to Ballyvourney when I was told that it was St. Gubnet's feast day.
All right.
And I went up there, and I've been to a lot of pilgrimages and a great fan of St. Senan and Scattery Island, and my son is actually named after St. Senan. But I suppose I witnessed some of the most extraordinary practices that still exist in the world today. I actually did a YouTube
briefly,
video on it, and called it the oldest pilgrimage. And I think... hello, sorry, Joe.
No, that's fine. And the oldest pilgrimage to St. Cupid has been going on for how long?
Well, we think it's been going on since the 6th century. So
wow.
It makes it 1,500 years.
Okay.
But some of the things that are practiced there are almost, you can't really explain them.
Okay.
I was told that day 20 years ago, oh, I had to go up to the church in the evening, and I said, what for? And they, you know, there was kind of humming and hawing, and you see it. But okay. Anyway, on the okay. YouTube video, I show very clearly an old statue, an old black.
Okay, you mentioned the video. Sorry, Jim, I'm way over time. I'll give a reference out for that. We'll put a reference to that video up on our website. That's Jim O'Connor in Cork. Kieran Dunn was on sound. John Ridey's researcher and producer. Ned Egan, Ray Darcy's next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Elevate your bedroom with our fresh new bedding designs and colours. In-store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.